I just
say it again?
Do you want
yeah,
me to
if you
repeat
could, if
what
you
I
could.
said?
It sounded like you said it was useful for Fedora.
I mean, I'm quite interested in Fedora developments. For me, it was interesting to join it up. It was a little bit challenging for us because it was proposed sort of halfway throughout the process. But I thought it worked quite well during the conference, if you like. But I think it depends on what the chair is this year, I think, really. And also perhaps what, I mean, we managed to join up papers so that it makes sense from a thematic point of view.
Right.
But that would depend on what has come in this year, I think.
Yeah, and I think, so you're talking more about some sensitivity to grouping like proposals together, not pitting them against other, you know, having DSpace and Fedora kind of schedule their presentations with some awareness of one another, so that potentially people could go to some and wouldn't feel conflicted. And I think there is an intention of doing that. I thought you were referring to kind of the joint plenary session.
Well, we had a couple of joint sessions that were also, there were three papers, and there would be two on Fedora and one on DSpace in one session as well.
Yep, that's right. We did have a few of those. So yeah, I think it largely depends on, it's an idea that I have definitely offered to both Holly Mercer and Beth Sadler, who are the chairs for the DSpace and Fedora meetings. So, and you know, I'll continue to encourage that to happen, because I do think it was a good, I think it was beneficial. I mean, certainly it was beneficial to you, Ellen. So we'll see how the proposal process shakes out and see, you know, how we can make sense of it. You know, it's a puzzle, right? It's one of those mind puzzles.
Yeah.
You could spend many days on. So, okay. Any other news? I noted some other things that we had mentioned last time by different people. Brahm had mentioned the OII7 DSpace user group meeting, which he is working on putting together. And then I know FAO, Ima, had mentioned that they were doing a training in Nepal. So, but I know she's not on the phone and wasn't going to be able to attend the meeting. So any other news or interesting things happening within the community or at your institutions?
Well, actually, it was Eiffel who had training in Laos.
Oh, sorry.
I think Ima mentioned another one in Bangladesh.
Okay.
So I don't know how the Bangladesh one went, but Laos went okay. And prior to the meeting, National University of Laos downloaded this space and localized it into Laos language. And then we had, but they did it with 1.5.2 version. So we talked about upgrading and training repository administrators and users. So we'll be writing a news item about this, and I'll share it with you as soon as we're done.
Okay.
And this is Sarah. I'm actually, I have the opportunity through the Mortensen Center here that's here at the University of Illinois that does international library programs. I will be going to Ghana in July to do some consulting with them at the University of Ghana around their DSpace installation. So,
cool.
Mostly focused on more on sort of policies, metadata, less on the technical setup side. But so that should be interesting.
Yeah. You're traveling the world.
I am.
Okay. Anyone have anything else? Okay. Moving on. Just a few minutes on the e-forum. Not sure how many of you saw the latest e-forum, which was on workflow that Alice hosted. I think it's about 10 days ago now. Almost 2 weeks, I guess. And it seemed that the participation in this, which was our second e-forum, was a little bit or significantly lower than the first one. Not sure why that is, and I was hoping Alice would be on the call to talk a little bit about where to go from here. You know, I know you all had a bunch of great suggestions for her that I had given to her after our last ECAT meeting. You had made a number of suggestions about, you know, sharing things and tweeting things and creating summaries and putting them, publishing them out on the wiki, which I think were all great. I also saw this this new eForum that Spark is starting. They announced last week, and one of the things that I wanted to talk a little bit about today was, you know, whether or not there is enough discrete and distinct difference we can draw between the DSpace eForum and the Spark eForum, or if we should just assume or hope that and put our energy towards making the Spark eForum, you know, vibrant and useful and helpful for everybody. On behalf, you know, of DSpace users. So I kind of wanted to throw this out to everyone and see what the thinking was. I don't know how many of you have had a chance to look at the details of the Spark eForum, but interested to hear if there are any thoughts either about our eForum or, you know, continued.
Well, one quick observation about the Spark one is that it's subject repositories focused.
Right. That was going to be my comment.
Which would exclude most of us.
Right.
Yeah. Which say it again, Ellen?
Sorry, I noticed that it's a subject repository focus, which would mean that they wouldn't necessarily want me to contribute to this.
Right.
As far as I understand.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me that they've narrowed it to that. Is that really something that has a big vacuum in terms of information sharing in you all's opinion?
I think there's a lot of stuff going on for institutional repositories and less so for subject repositories, certainly.
Right. I would agree.
Okay.
And I think they will be discussing business models, how to sustain subject repositories. So I think it's really something which is lacking now.
Yeah, so it's a unique subset or a unique area rather. Okay. Well,
whether they will have enough participants for this.
Right. Well, I joined it to monitor it, so I don't know if any of you all have, but I joined it to monitor it because I'm curious to see how they frame it and how they work it. So maybe it could help. Maybe we could steal ideas. So, well, I'll have another conversation with Alice and see if we can't come up with some ideas. I think sometimes, you know, it's timed. You pick a time that is bad for everybody. I think there's something to be said for just not being a good time, and you get low response just because everyone's busier than normal, so and can't participate, or maybe it was a subject. I don't know. So I'll talk with her. But does anyone else have any other suggestions about the eForum or any feedback that I should give Alice? Okay, let's move on. Let's see, I have included a reference here just for anyone who wants a review of what the DCAT new feature review process is. You can go back to the old meeting notes and it has, you know, links off to it has a summary of the process and then links off to all the various reference wiki pages. So feel free to go back to that as we're talking. But I kind of just wanted to dive in and see if we can't come up with a game plan. If we need to talk through some of the detail of the new feature request, I think that's absolutely fine. In my mind, and you all can chime in here, but I just want to move stuff forward, you know, to the next step if we can. If we're in a wait and see mode for some reason, then great. But I just want to see if we can't get some forward momentum. And I know there's some, you know, good stuff happening with a few of these things. So I just wanted to see if we can't roll through as many as possible. And since Sarah, Jim, and Ellen are all on the phone, that's fabulous. You can do three or four, maybe. Sarah, did you wanna start with the DS-587, the tombstone?
Sure. Hold on, let me just bring it up here. So this one was the capability to indicate a withdrawal reason to an item. So, you know, currently, if you withdraw an item, it just sort of, it doesn't show anything. It just says this item is no longer there when a user uses that handle to try to get to the item. You know, one that's an issue for our users. It's also an issue for us in terms of tracking reasons, for example. This was something that Michigan had actually done some work on that has not been integrated into the core code, obviously. I think there was some concern, if I'm remembering correctly, that we get the requirements right in terms of there is some back and forth. If you look at the JIRA item ticket, there's some back and forth about how this is done. And so I think that, as I understand it, and after a conversation with Tim Donahue, we need to sort of put together a more scoped list of requirements for this. So that's, I don't know whether Jim has anything to add to that.
I have a little to add, I guess, in that the way I remember leaving it, and this is a while ago, but, there was indeed some discussion among the committers and back and forth, and I responded in the JIRA ticket as well. And I think we are mostly in agreement, at least okay. In that context, of what would need to happen and how. And Jose has done most of the work on the JSP side.
Okay.
But
so it's taking it into the...
It's taking it into XML UI side. That I think is the at least one of the sticking points right now.
Okay.
And since we live in JSP land constantly and not at all in the XML,
right.
We don't have, Jose just doesn't have the chops for it right now. And getting him up to speed on that, may not be timely. Now, I understand that with 1.7, there have been some improvements to the XML code that may help him get past the stumbling blocks that he was having a problem with. But I know he hasn't gone back and looked at that yet again. So if it's true that the XML code has changed in ways that will allow him to finish the job and make it work, then I think we're close. But if that's not true, then we're not really close, because then we would only have a solution for one side. of DSpace.
So and yeah, it looks like Jose has submitted the patcher JSP, and that he's still working on the XML. And it sounded like, I mean, I talked to Tim about this issue as well, and it didn't sound like it was a roadblock to just submit the JSP version, that they would want to have someone somewhere do an XML version, but that if Jose couldn't do it, that, you know, so Tim says, you're welcome to work on XML UI, but we can also try to find another developer to help.
Right.
But then he also makes a point, let's see.
I'm looking at what you're looking at, too. I think that Mark Wood had made some suggestions about sort of controlling what you see being controlled by authorization groups and access controls. But I'm not... I think that, so I'm not sure that we need that to stop what's happened so far. I think that we probably want to move forward and trying to find somebody to do the XML UI change or, you know, version of this. And if, you know, if we need to go back to this code in a future release to look at the access authorization piece, we could, you know,
I think that's done though. I think so. You know, I wouldn't bet all the money in my bank account on it.
Right.
But given that Tim's question was in September of last year, and Jose pointed out that he had just submitted the patch in March, almost exactly a month ago, and based on what I remember from our conversation, that part is taken care of.
Okay.
It's just the XML implementation. But I say that only with 95% certainty.
And
okay.
Sarah, when you talked to Tim, I mean, he left me with the distinct impression that it could very well just go into JSP UI, that it did not, that we could put it in the JSP version, and it didn't necessarily have to have both in order to be in. But did I misunderstand, or did he give you a different message than that?
I think that he indicated that he would, I mean, you know, this is a little while back too, but I think he would like to have the XML UI version as well.
Yeah.
So,
I think ideally
we should have the XML UI. I mean, I think that's
right.
What it comes down to.
Sure.
So,
right.
So it sounds like maybe the point that we're at with this is that Jose's patch needs to be reviewed again, right? Because it was reviewed before. So his latest version needs to be reviewed.
Yeah.
And then
right.
Maybe the committer group can tell us whether this is something, you know, that's the JSP version is good as it is, or if it needs more tweaking. But then, you know, the second part of that is, is there someone in the committer group that can help Jose get into XML if he is willing and Michigan is willing to help with that effort, or do we need to?
And I'll say we are.
Okay. So, so then he just needs some guidance. He needs a little bit of time, I assume, with someone who can help him convert it to XML. But we first need to confirm that the patch is good as is acceptable as is without this authorization, the authorization groups and access controls.
And it may in fact already have that too. So that,
but
the long and short of it is, I agree. The current version of the patch needs someone other than Jose and kind of sort of me to look at it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So is the best route maybe, Sarah, to bring this up at the next committer meeting if Tim is agreeable
yes.
to giving it, you know, 5 minutes of time?
Yep.
Or should we see if someone will review it first and then have 5 minutes of time, probably? We probably should have someone review it, right?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
If it's a 1-8 thing, would it make sense to talk to Robin about it?
I'm sorry, say again, please?
If it's intended to be included in the 1-8 code, presumably Robin may be one person to ask about reviewing it.
Yeah, I don't know how they divide up the reviewing responsibility. I guess, Sarah, I would start with Tim and say, we think this is good to go, but we need someone to review. Can you tell us?
Yep, I can do that.
The timing and if there is still discrepancies or questions, can we get 5 minutes on a commit on one of the committer calls?
Yep.
Or committer chat, sorry. Does that make sense?
Yep, makes sense.
Yep, sounds good. And I will follow up with Jose and see where he thinks things are in case what he thinks is different than what I just said.
Right, exactly. Because his note didn't say anything about authorization, so he may just want to add something about the, that he has or hasn't included
Yep, I will.
And I think, too, if Sarah, you're of the opinion that we can go ahead without the authorization and the other parts that Mark Woods brought up, that if you think it's at least a step forward in the right direction, then I think it might be worth, on behalf of DCAT, saying DCAT would like to recommend this change go in, whether or not it has the authorization. But I think it'd be helpful to have a clear note from Jose, Jim, whether or not, that does that make sense? The authorization is in authorization group and access controls. Yep. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Anything more on that one? So we do not need a community-wide discussion on that one. Woohoo! All right, Ellen, DS-638, the check file format and virus check. I know this one's all needs to be all uncoupled, but it sounds like Robin is kind of all over it.
Well, I raised it for discussion with the committers at the committers meeting a while ago, and after a bit of toing and froing, I think it was decided that Robin would be following up on it with support from me if need be. So Robin sent an email today with status. I'm afraid I've been busy with other stuff, so I haven't followed up quite as much as I wanted on this. I think there is a separate virus checking patch that has already been created that is scheduled for release in 1.8. And then Robin wants to, once he's got a, hang on. So basically what he needs to do for this patch is to make sure that it can work with the existing curation framework.
Framework is the stuff that Richard Rogers at MIT is building, right?
Exactly. I mean, one of the problems I faced working with this was that it's a little bit hard to get an idea of what that curation framework does and doesn't do. It's a bit vague still, although that's partly because I need to take a closer look at the documentation out there as well.
I think to maybe refine that a little bit, it's a lot of things in dream world, but what's in reality, what is going to be in, right? Like that's my impression of, a lot of this stuff was supposed to be, planned and hoped to be in 1.7. And I think some of it got in. So I think it's a matter of, what pieces are in so far and what touch, what kind of intersect with DS-638, right?
Yeah, but I think so. So I think the virus part of the DS-638 is most likely not going to be brought forward because there are already other tools implemented or in the process of being implemented.
Okay.
Because that was one of the causes of some confusion, because there's two parts of this ticket.
Right.
But bringing forward the Jove part of it is something that Robin and I are still very interested in doing. And from the sound of Robin's email, having not had the chance to talk to him very much about, it sounds like he's moving that forward as part of his work with 1.8. So I'm not sure if we need to do anything more with that at the moment, unless he comes back and wants more input from us.
Did Robin need any more? Because some of the things that I read, it seemed like Robin needed some more clarification on kind of uncoupling, because it seemed like there was a couple components, and not just between, and maybe I read it wrong, but not just between kind of the virus check and file format check, but there was different components to this, and that it sounded like it might be helpful to talk, but although I guess the latest message from him is that he was going to move ahead and he didn't think he needed help.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I guess the, what do you think, you said you had planned to follow up with him and just hadn't, I guess.
Yeah.
Doing.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we were saying that we would talk and then I've just been busy. He sent me some suggestions and thoughts, but I have been so busy with other things that I haven't been able to follow up on it. But his latest message sounds like he's pretty much made up his mind to just move forward with the initial patch bar the virus stuff, but I would need to check that with him, because he was also initially talking about including some other stuff as well, although I cannot remember the details about that. But at the same time, he was thinking that maybe become very complicated as well. So,
right.
But I need to talk to him to get clarification.
And is he's specifically working on the file format check, because the virus check is already done, correct?
Yes, I think
okay.
So
that's the piece that we're talking about, making sure it doesn't conflict with the virus check and that it's complementary and not.
Yes, I mean, I guess that depends on how the code is written and how closely linked the patch that was provided, because this is another Michigan patch, as far as I remember. How close that is linked with, so how closely the virus check and the Jove stuff is linked. And
okay.
Jim may be able to say something about that.
Okay.
If only. I don't know how closely they are tied together. I believe Jove did, well, no, that's not true, because Clam AV, I think, did the virus aspect, and Jove did the format. So in theory, they can be decoupled.
Okay.
Now, how to decouple that, and where the actual, I think one of the questions or debates was, where should this happen? Should it be part of what type of workflow was a concern? One, so all by way of saying, I don't know how much of the way we chose to do this is going to get implemented. Doesn't mean that what we chose to do was a good way to do it anyway. So might just have to wait and see what Robin and...
I mean, from my point of view, as long as both things end up being a feature of the system, I don't mind too much where it comes from.
Oh, absolutely. I don't mind.
And since there are virus tools coming in already, which already, I don't know whether they're going into 1.8 or whether they're actually in 1.7. That's not entirely clear to me. But I think it's the Jove part of the code that is interesting. Although that being said, I noticed that there's lots of comments that has been added to the ticket, which I haven't noticed. So I'm sorry about that. But
yeah,
maybe...
I did actually read through them a couple weeks ago, and refreshing my memory now, I think all is well. As far as I can tell. I think the big concern was there was initial issue, well, this should all be handled through a workflow. And, you know, the process of checking submissions after the depositor has placed them in there. And I think Tim rightly pointed out that we don't want to force institutions that actually don't do a workflow to have to do this just to get virus and format checking. That's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it should happen in some way. And I think if I interpret the discussion correctly, there was general agreement on that, which would imply to me that Robin is moving ahead based on that sort of understanding.
That makes sense from the point of view of what Robin said yesterday as well, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of what I gathered too, so.
But I can try and get in touch with him in the next couple of weeks just to verify that, and we'll confirm with you guys on email. Is that okay? But I don't particularly expect to have to move forward with anything more work on our side for that ticket, unless Robin comes back to us and saying he wants some assistance, which I'll also make it very clear that he should be doing if he needs support that we can provide.
Yeah, I guess my only, it sounds like Robin's committed to getting it done. It's just if he gets stuck or if the work that U of M's done would be helpful, and not, kind of another web to kind of untangle and try and see if it works with the stuff that MIT is either planning on implementing or has already been implemented in 1.7. I think that's sort of whatever way we can help is what we want. But it sounds like it's on the path to getting done, and it's just a matter of, is there anything that any help that we can be?
Yeah. Well, what I'd like to check also is how, because I think Robin is now primarily working for Edina, as opposed to the University Library in Edinburgh. And if that is one of their prioritized issues as well, then that makes me more optimistic for it also moving forward.
That might be another good thing for you to find out, yeah. Okay. So those action steps are Ellen to follow up with Robin and possibly look at the implementation at U of M for the file format portion of DS-638, right?
Yeah, that sounds fine. With the caveat that we did this many releases ago, and it seems to me likely that given the work on curation that's been done since then, what we did is now not the way a committer would do it.
Yep. Okay.
But we're happy to try to help.
I'll check in with Robin on that as well and hear what he thinks about that.
Great.
Okay. Let's see. So Jim, you get to keep talking.
Oh boy.
On DS-164.
Yeah, so I have done nothing on this in the last month, for which I apologize. But I think your proposed steps here in the agenda look quite right. And it would seem to me that the step one of building a straw man approach is probably up to me to create the first pass of that. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, I think that would be helpful. Or if you want to throw it out to the DCAT group, a real thumbnail and then get some reaction, we could have.
Oh, sure. Yeah. When I say first draft, that's what I would mean, is to give something for other people to throw darts at or torch.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. And then I think having the larger community interact with it after we're done with it is probably good.
And how would you propose the larger community do that in what context? Through an e-forum?
Yeah. So I've been thinking all along that the best place for these discussions is in a place that we can see the progression and not have to hunt through a mail archive.
Yes.
So my preference is that we reference the same discussion issue in our wiki discussion forum, that you reference that, maybe you summarize it in an email, but you ask people to respond inside the forum so that we have a record. Now, I am absolutely open to people disagreeing with that step, but for me, I think if we're going to not drive ourselves batty trying to figure out the trail of people's comments and feedback, that seems the most efficient. But please let me know if you think otherwise.
Do we want developers to comment on it as well? Because developers consistently seem to be working in email and nowhere else.
Oh, in email. Well, both Robin and Tim have also commented in our discussion forum, though.
True. So, that's a good point.
I think having them linked together is important. I think sending notification that this discussion is going on and, you know, here's where it's taking place is very critical. Like, we can't just have this discussion because it kind of happens then in a vacuum on its own. But if we announce it on the list and those people interested can look at it, you know, and if it gets to the point where the discussion is so dynamic, like so much is happening, that we need to publish a summary or reference back to it, say, you know, check out this discussion that's been going on for the last 2 weeks. You know, if you weren't aware, you know, if you missed the first announcement, there's been a lot of discussion, and here you can take a look at everything. But yeah, I know that is an issue, getting engagement from committers and developers in something other than an email format is sometimes challenging. I think they're open to it because I believe that they think we're trying to help, you know.
Yeah, I should add that from my point of view, it sounds good.
So does that, Jim, does that process make sense to you to put it in?
Sure, absolutely.
Put the straw man.
Yeah. It sounds like the first step is for me to actually do something. So
yeah,
okay.
Well, you know, in your free time, I'm sure, you know, you got hours of free time, right?
Sure. Who needs sleep?
Well, I think the reality is that we're starting to move beyond discussion points here. I will count it as a big victory if we in the next few months can bring new resources into working on things and not just, you know, kind of arm twisting Robin and other people to do things that we really want them to do. But, you know, I think that's a partial, I think we could claim a partial victory and you know, having some of these requests being elevated and you know, viewed as the committers as important and for them being willing to, you know, jump in and push them forward. I think that's fantastic. And I don't want to minimize that at all, but I think the next win in my mind for our group is to inspire and to bring more developer resources in that may not be in the process otherwise. And I think that's where this community wide discussion, you know, might be helpful. So I don't know if others view it the same way, but I feel like we're making some progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, I think you're right.
Great. Okay, well, the last issue is Brahms, and I think he put his discussion topic up and didn't really send out a note or, you know, to announce that he put it up or to solicit any votes or feedback or comments. So I'll encourage him again to do that. But I think for those who haven't identified themselves as a discussion leader, just real quick thumbnail, the next step is really to get more issues on that new feature, the JIRA new feature request list, going in this process. And all you do is you go to JIRA, there's actually a new feature request list, and you pick one that's your favorite that you think a lot of people could benefit from or you personally could benefit from, and then you put up the issue in the discussion forum as you see it. You can give a summary and you give an assessment of what you think should be done or could be done next, and everyone votes to agree or disagree. And you do that all basically via email and the wiki. And again, the process is laid out kind of in detail in the last meeting notes. So if you can take the time to figure out a week where you can be that discussion leader, and the discussion only goes on for a week, and then we can start moving on more and more issues. And the more I think that we can talk about now in April and May timeframe, the more likely it is to get into 1.8. So I think we have a window here, and I'm sure, and I totally appreciate how busy everyone is, and I appreciate all the efforts that everyone contributes to this group. But the more we can do in April and May, the more likely we are to actually have some of the fruits of our labor get into 1.8. So I would just encourage everyone to jump in and ask questions, and, you know, tell us where the process isn't working and where we need to make changes. So anything anyone else wants to add or any questions?
I think we need to keep in mind that we're still figuring this out to a certain extent.
Absolutely.
Because I thought we'd move much faster initially, and having done one issue, I realized it's much more to-ing and fro-ing. Maybe that was naive of me, probably.
I absolutely agree. I think, honestly, you know, looking kind of, I had the same impression. I think we all kind of had our expectations a little higher. But I think if each person can have, like, at this point, 2 or 3 issues in a 6 or 8 or 10 month period that they're helping to shepherd, you know, that's a ton of issues when you have 15 people on a team. So I think that's a really good goal. So I guess it lends to the argument, Ellen, for sure. Pick your favorite pet new feature request that you think has a possibility of getting in. You know, there's a lot of features, of course, that are enormous, that would take an enormous amount of work or rework of the code base, which might not be the right ones to pick. So pick something that you think, you know, you and others would get a big bang for, knowing that you're probably only going to pick, you know, 3, maybe 4 in a year, maybe. That's what it seems like it's shaking out to be. And as Ellen says, I am in total agreement. Very iterative process. We're working on refining the process as we go here. So, okay.
Hello.
It's deadline time, so we'll pop off the call unless anyone else has anything else.
Nope.
Okay. Thanks everybody for attending, and thanks to the 3 discussion leaders for your efforts on the issues.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.